Kaya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. In the heart of Adelaide, a movement is changing the conversation about film and film culture. That movement is called Movie Juice, a ground-up driven collective of artists, filmmakers, film theorists and enthusiasts who commune to watch, experience and talk about film and art culture together. Created by Shay Gallagher, Daniel Tune and Louis Campbell, Movie Juice was born in the backyards of Adelaide, spotlighting the sonic landscape of the city with live music and films like Tim Carlier's energetic and invigorating Pucko. Over its brief existence, Movie Juice has made its mark on Australian culture and cinema, showcasing films that would otherwise go unnoticed or underappreciated. Films like Gabe Barth's Ships at Bear or Tim Barreto's Bass and Dream, unique experiences that genuinely shift the filmic language of Australian cinema. Now, in 2024, Movie Juice has teamed up with Adelaide Film Festival to present a must-see experience, a cinematic double featuring Geordie Pollock's Wubby Subby Rendezvous and Audrey Lamb's Us and the Night. In the following interview, Daniel and Shay talk about their history with Movie Juice, the vision for the collective, and what it means to work with an organisation like Adelaide Film Festival, and, naturally, the importance of celebrating and amplifying this kind of Australian culture. Look, I'm in awe of what the Movie Juice team are creating from the heart of Adelaide. They are helping shape how we respond to Australian culture and ensuring that filmmakers like Gabe Barth, Tim Barreto, Tim Carlier, Geordie Pollock and Audrey Lamb are continually talked about and a part of the ongoing conversation that is Australian cinema. Movie Juice presents Wubby Subby Rendezvous and Us and the Night at Adelaide Film Festival on Saturday, the 2nd of November, 2024. If you are available, please head along, go and see it. It is going to be an experience that you're not going to want to miss. All right, for now, here is a conversation with Daniel and Shay talking about Movie Juice and Adelaide Film Festival and a heck of a lot more. First came to know your work because of it was more because you did a screening of Pucko, and then I saw Pucko here in Revelation Film Festival, and then I saw the connection that you guys have had with Tim and all of his work and all that kind of stuff, and I was just like, oh good, you know. It was mostly that I was just thrilled that somebody else had in the world had seen Pucko and seen this absolutely delightful film. And then I went down this hole of like, oh my gosh, what are these Movie Juice people doing in Adelaide? What on earth is going on there? It seems to be the center of the universe. And sure enough, you know, it's like, it's been insane. So first of all, I guess I want to say thank you for A, loving Pucko and shining a spotlight on that, but also for, you know, creating such a brilliant avenue for, as you're saying, soldiers of cinema, like supporting cinema in all of its different forms. Congratulations on the work that you're all doing with Movie Juice. It's not really much of a question, but I guess if you want to start talking about the history of Movie Juice and what kind of the foundation point of it was, would be wonderful.
Yeah, well, Pucko was definitely kind of a very foundational point for us. Seeing Pucko at the Adelaide Film Festival in 2022, and it's not officially the premiere screening. It was technically a work in progress screening. Very activating for us of like seeing this kind of low budget, independent, like, you know, experimental film that, as you say, is very delightful and was made in Adelaide. It was a very kind of, yeah, like radicalizing thought for us of, oh my God, you can kind of do something interesting in Adelaide. Because we had such, you know, one of the core parts of living in Adelaide is being like vaguely disappointed by it, I think, even though it is, you know, in a lot of ways actually a very nice place. But and also just like a general kind of feeling, like having seen James Vaughan's Friends and Strangers earlier that year, Shay and I went to the only, at this at present only Adelaide screening of it. That was very activating. And yeah, just, and this sort of like, so we all kind of connected at the Adelaide Film Festival in 2022. Shay and I had been friends for a few years before that, through the Cinematheque, that we met Lewis, who's our third kind of co-conspirator, at the Adelaide. We were all like, Lewis and I were interning. Shay was doing a class and like writing about the film festival, through the uni. Yeah, so we all just got, and we also saw John Hughes and Tom Zabriskie's documentary Senses of Cinema at the film festival, which is all about the kind of the film co-ops from the 70s and that kind of ethos of like, yeah, like cooperative community driven approach to sort of art and experimental cinema that seemed really exciting to us. So yeah, and then kind of grew out of that. We sort of were hashing out plans for about, I guess we were, first screening was in March and the film festival was in October. So what, like, yeah, 5 months. We had various different kind of avenues of trying to get it going at a few different cinemas that were largely unsuccessful because cinemas don't get it. So we had our first screening in a backyard in the end, which was good. And then, yeah, we've just been kind of trucking since then. Sort of, we were all kind of in the last year of uni, I think. Oh, no, not Shay wasn't, but Shay was overseas. And then Lewis and I were in the last year of uni in 2023. So there's only three events that year and it was a bit of a struggle, but we're all off that beat now. So it's been a lot. I think we're going to have done, I think, 12 events by the end of this year, So yeah, about 15 in total once all is said and done.
I do think it's worth noting as well that Daniel and I, and also Lewis, we have done previewing at the film at Adelaide Film Festival for the last few years. So that's kind of been our in with them in a lot of ways, but also it's run very interestingly kind of parallel to our sort of self-appointed role as programmers, because we're, you know, constantly, like, it really opened my eyes to how much stuff is being made that has absolutely no viability anywhere, least of all at a major film festival like Adelaide, and kind of that. So we sort of like thought, well, you know, if all this stuff is being made, maybe if it, you know, if it doesn't have viability at a festival, what are potential avenues for some of this stuff? And this year has just been a beautiful synchronicity of stuff that we want to show is now in the kind of, I feel like, the app sphere, by some fluke.
By the arc of history, bending to progress.
I want to talk as well about like the decision process. Obviously, you both touched on it, but the decision process behind what films that you actually do choose to screen. Because I think of something like Ships That Bear and then Bill Mazzola's work as well, where, as you were mentioning, the traditional avenues simply aren't there. And then we have this confluence event where you've got the two films that you're screening at Adelaide Film Festival this year. So how has the path over the past couple of years with those films that don't have a traditional path meet up with an Adelaide Film Festival?
I guess I would start answering that by saying that generally, I mean, we kind of set out at first to be a local film showing enterprise, so like by local, just SA only. But then our first program had a film from a Melbourne-based artist, and also Bill Mazzola being kind of, you know, a Melbourne-based artist essentially, and it was a film he made in Greece. So, you know, we kind of
betrayed the mission statement from the beginning. Yeah,
we did. So I think we're loose with how we like to define ourselves. I think once you define yourself too much, you just fall into the same traps of like exclusivity that you are kind of working to overrule. But the one kind of common thread, and Daniel like has spoken a lot about this in the Movie Juice Manifesto, Andrew, I don't know if you've read it.
Of course, I have. Yes. While I've not attended a Movie Juice event, I sing the songs of Movie Juice, so I'm well versed in it.
God bless you. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So I think we do try and make sure that the stuff we're showing is kind of coming from a place outside of, you know, screen industry. And I mean, you know, Parco was an AF investment fund film and, you know, had received a lot of support and funding, but there was this feeling that they were showing it almost out of a sense of obligation rather than a sense of here's something we love.
And it was not promoted at all. It was buried deeper within the program.
So I think that's going forward, we were always conscious of, you know, does this film offer something that you can't get from those mainstream bodies, essentially? And I think Us and the Night and Wabi Sabi Rendezvous are absolutely, like, they are absolutely films that we, from the early days, would have been interested in. It's just great that AF has got on board with these films. And they're both coming from people who, I think, have been working towards kind of festival appraisal, I guess. I mean, it's Geordie's first film, but, you know, Audrey's very well respected, and Geordie has been involved with a lot of really good projects, and we've programmed a short of his in the past. So I think that these two films just really came at the right time for us, especially our standing with the festival.
I love it. It's great. I mean, I think part of the discussion online, especially about these two films, has been because of the attention that people like yourselves have shone on them. And, you know, again, what I love about Movie Juice is that you're transforming how Australian films are talked about. And I know that you've screened non-Australian films, but you're really putting a spotlight on the fact that there are a whole world of independent filmmakers out there. And I hate the term independent filmmakers, because in Australia, it doesn't, what does that actually mean? Like, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but it's pointless. But you're shining a spotlight to say, no, actually, there are people who are pushing the form forward in ways that aren't supported by funding bodies, that aren't supported by film festivals, that aren't supported by audiences. And yeah, they may only screen to a room full of 50 people, but that doesn't mean they're any less valuable. And that's what I love about what you guys do, is that, you know, the conversations that come out of it, whether it's in person or online, it's tangible. Like, I've had discussions with people simply because they've seen something that's taken place at Movie Juice. And it's like, specifically talking about like Bass and Dream, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this little film from Perth is now getting attention elsewhere. And it's like spot fires, and these conversations become spot fires, and it's brilliant. Can you talk about the importance of creating those spot fires for you both? Like that importance of celebrating that independent cinema, for want of a better term?
I think, well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think in terms of like audiences, audiences don't even get the chance to kind of engage with it, like to decide whether or not they actually like it, because there is just sort of like the kind of purvey of what you can produce as a, you know, as someone working within traditional methods is so boxed in and so limited to like all these kind of narrow definitions that are like basically, you know, crafted by like capital interest or you know, the quote unquote national interest or whatever. The thing is that like most people do want things more expansive than that. Most Australians do want us, like, you know, who are interested in film, want a definition of like national cinema that goes beyond what most people with money would have to say about that. And I think it's like a matter of like, well, if you can get it in front of people, yeah, like conversations just begin on their own. And obviously, like, you know, that's how anything changes. That's how more interesting things are produced. And, you know, creating a spot fire just sort of, it gives the film like a validity almost that it wouldn't have. It's just this kind of object floating in space, which I think has been the fate of a lot of like really interesting, pretty much like probably like 80% of like Australian cinema is just kind of in this dead zone, in this gray zone or whatever, where, you know, maybe like 5 people know about it. It's got like, you know, whatever, like 6 logs on Letterboxd or whatever. And then you see it and it's like amazing. So like, you know, just from a historical perspective, but also, yeah, like so many, like, you know, so many people who make one interesting film and then give up because there's no avenue for it because, yeah, all of the kind of major institutional bodies don't have a space for it for, you know, whatever reason. Usually I would say not a valid one. So it's just about, yeah, Movie Juice is just kind of creating the space and then the rest kind of flows from there. I think people want this stuff. I think that's why we've been able to sustain an operation, even though not that's been that long, but, you know, people just like it. Like, it's a cool thing. Like, It's just common sense, I think.
It will 2 years and you're, you know, part of a major film festival. Like, that's no small effort, and it's a lot to be proud of. Shay, do you have anything to add as well?
Not especially. Yeah, I think it's just about the, you know, yeah, the national cinema is, you know, there's a pipeline and it all comes through together. And I think we're just, you know, we're interested in, yeah, just creating a space for the stuff that can't make it through, basically.
In the discussions which I've had with South Australian filmmakers, and this kind of a national cinema question as well, but more specifically Adelaide as well, it's fascinating to see Adelaide on screen. It's fascinating to see South Australia on screen because it's not a location that we tend to get to see very often. In if we do, it's kind of gussied up with special effects like Mortal Kombat, for example. Whereas I look at a film like, you know, My Darling in Stirling, which is so deeply about a part of South Australia and it presents a part of South Australia. And I'm curious for you, for you both living there, what does it mean to be able to see your city and your town on screen?
That's an interesting question. I'll just say, like, with regards to that, it was interesting with Parco, it being this awakening to us, because it was, for me, like, absolutely the first time I saw anything like that, where I could watch the film and its value to me transcended, oh, look, there's that thing that I know and that place that I know, which is funny because Parco is also kind of so about that feeling in a way. It's almost about feeling of a piece with the place that you live. And we were kind of curious as to how that would translate to like other cities and other audiences. And I don't know if Parco has quite crossed in the way that maybe Tim Carlier had hoped, or certainly the way we hoped. And I think we have done a bit of kind of, yeah, evaluating of like, well, where does the, you know, where does the film's value cross into just like we're getting a kick out of seeing the, you know, the places and the faces and stuff. And it's especially compounded with the fact that we run, you know, music and everything during the events and try and make it a real community thing. So there is this thing almost of the screen is then reflected in the event. And I guess we're trying to make that more of a positive thing rather than a kind of crutch, which is, I think, what a lot of national cinema kind of ends up being. You know, if they don't want to offer anything of cinematic value, they just want to offer a lot of, you know, recognizable kind of, oh, here's a reflection of this, which cinema is obviously very good for, but I think the possibilities don't end there.
That's the thing with a film like Parco, is I'd never seen anything like that before, right? And it's not just because it showcased aspects of South Australia, which I hadn't seen on screen before at all. And so that in itself was invigorating, but the narrative...
You get it.
Yeah, and the way that it flows as well. It feels like it's not driven by any one person. It feels like it's driven by a community. And that's where you're talking about having the music and stuff as a part of the event as well. And I'm curious, was that always a foundational aspect of Movie Juice, to have not just the films, but to have it be an art event?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think because it's like, yeah, we have this really great local music scene in Adelaide. That's like the only kind of cohesive, like, you know, for like lack of a better word, like, yeah, independent or sort of like punk ethos, like art scene we've got that's really like driven by young people. And I, you know, the initial kind of pitch, like Lewis especially, I mean, Shay is also, you know, Shay's a great musician. But Lewis is like very embedded within the, like, a, you know, a particular element of the music scene. And the pitch was kind of like, well, like, you know, how do we get people out who are interested in art but haven't really been given, like, ever been, like, had the case really made to them for, like, weird, like, you know, no-budget, low-budget, experimental cinema. Like, you know, how do you get them out? It's like, well, like, run it like a gig, turn it into, yeah, an art event and just, like, a celebration of, like, an alternative culture in general, with, like, cinema as kind of, like, the front thing. But, you know, I think we all have a shared belief that, you know, art is art and cinema is just one, you know, one arm of that. And art has like a function in the world. It's not just kind of like a particular way of engaging with you know, cinema just for its own sake, if that makes any sense. So we've kind of figured out we don't always have to have the live music element, like, for it to kind of, you know, justify itself at this point. But, you know, I think the live music element is fantastic just because, yeah, it's this, like, it connects cinema to, like, you know, the physical world, which I think is what's, you know, what's my favorite thing about cinema, is that it reflects the real world in some way.
Well, it's also about creating a touchstone, a memory. Like, I don't know about you both, but certainly for me, if I'm walking along, and especially if I've gone and seen a movie or something like that, the moments after that, wherever I go, whether it be a shop or a park or whatever, I'm driving along, that suddenly becomes connected to the actual movie that I've just seen, provided it's been an emotional experience, positive or negative. And so I whenever I'm walking past, I then think, oh, this is where I saw that, and I'm reflected back to that moment of the movie that I saw. So it's bleeding into society or our lives in a way that we don't expect, and music does a really great job of that because it ties it to the film, and then you listen to a song and you're tied to the night. And I think it's one of those intangible things that we can't really put into words because it's a feeling, and all you can say is, well, it makes me feel good. And it's like, on paper, you know, I'm sure that people are a lot more eloquent than me that can say this, but it's just like, it's hard to really put a pin on it. And that's, again, what I really appreciate about what you're both doing is you are creating those moments, those memories that are, you know, tangible. They flow through time. Yes, it happened one night, but in 6 months' time, somebody might be thinking about it again. Which I guess I want to lead back to the event that you've got on the 2nd of November. You've got Wabi Sabi Rendezvous and Us in the Night, as you mentioned. I'm curious about the connection between those two films and what kind of memories you're hoping people might be able to conjure or create together as they watch those films.
What a lovely question. yeah, the films are very sweet and they're quite challenging. Us in the Night is quite challenging, but ultimately the last few screenings that we've done have definitely skewed kind of harsh and unforgiving on the audience. And we do want people still to, I think, find something beautiful to take away. We don't want people to feel like they're being punished for engaging with experimental cinema. So we want it to always be a positive experience. We don't want people to be uncomfortable, but we absolutely want people to be challenged. And I think these films are the perfect sweet spot of challenging, but really, really lovely and sweet and playful. And the music after, we've just got two local singer-songwriters playing one set after the other. And
I think it'll just, great party.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be sweet and lovely and warm and hopefully warm.
It'll suck so, if it's raining.
Yeah, it will suck if it's raining. But hey, look, you know, we can
we'll
adapt.
Make it work.
Yeah, we hope that it's just a real nice, kind of sweet, lovely time. And it will be interesting because there are a lot of people, obviously, now who will be coming who have never been to a Movie Juice event. And it will be a really exciting thing to kind of reach out to a different, completely different audience, which is exciting.
Well, I mean, that's it. Like, it's amplifying what you do. And hopefully there's that flow-on effect and you get to see some new faces at, you know, Movie Juice events going forward. That would be absolutely wonderful. And that you both grow and grow and grow. It's, you know, again, it's so exciting. And usually I try and limit how much enthusiasm I have because I don't want to seem too effusive and, like, it, you know, the genuine aspect of it to not carry across. But I genuinely feel like, you know, every time I see something that you're doing, there's something revolutionary about it. And it's really strange. So in doing... I'm sure you see, I did a book, I interviewed Alex Proyas for it, and I mentioned the word revolutionary about it. And I'm not trying to name drop here, but it's just his response was, he's like, oh, look, in Australia, we're not allowed to use the word revolution. It's, you know, it's forbidden, basically. And so we can't have a revolution at all. But then I look at what you're doing, and it's like, no, hang on a second. Like, what you guys do, and then there are film movements, of course, in... different states, but specifically in Adelaide, it's like there's nothing like that happening, and it's driving a whole culture there. Do you see what you're doing as revolutionary? Is that something that you, like, is it planting a flag in the sand and going, no, no, we're defiantly standing up for Australian cinema this way?
I like to fantasize that we're revolutionaries. I don't know if we actually are. I think we might be doomed revolutionaries, like most revolutionaries. But I think, you know, I think we're just part of a wider shift that's happening in film culture right now. We're just kind of picking up on something that is sort of, I think, gaining ground, certainly in like online spaces. Like, I think a lot about like the cult that's kind of built up around like Matt Farley's films, Matt Farley and Charlie Roxburgh's films, Motown Media, and kind of various other pushes of just kind of like this sort of more community approach-based, you know, community-based approach to cinema. So I think there's kind of, you know, I think in a way, yeah, we are planting our little flag in the sand in our little town and saying, you know, this is what we believe in. And I'm very proud of that. It's one of the only things I am actually proud of. But yeah, I think Alex Proyas should be a bit more optimistic, though Dark City is a great film.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Alex is Alex, so that's fine. But I'm glad that you're proud of it there, Daniel. Are you proud as well, Shay?
I am proud, yeah. I think we are an outpost for the revolutionaries. I think I do, you know, if I will allow myself one, aggrandization, it's that I do think we are essential to
we are the essential workers. We're
essential to film culture in Adelaide, because the truth is that there wasn't one, and now there is, essentially. So I feel instrumental in helping that come, because like it was there, it just I think needed more people to champion it. And that, I mean, we like to say, you know, we are all movie juice, which I like. That's not just a that isn't just, you know, what's the word, platitude. It's like we genuinely, everyone who comes away from our screenings or our events, like if they are feeling more emboldened about Australian cinema, I mean, they are now equal to us. Absolutely, like we are all it is enthusiasm. You know, I mean, we're not coming from a place of any elevated, even power. Really, we have as much power as literally the lowest like people here in Adelaide. So it's really beautiful that at our events, it's such a beautiful cross section of like people who have industry connections and then people who, you know, would probably just as quickly throw a brick through their windows, you know?
Thanks again for listening to this episode of The Curb podcast, where I interviewed Shay Gallagher and Daniel Toon talking about their work with Movie Juice. Make sure to head over to Instagram, follow Movie Juice there as well. I'll stick a link in the show note. And also check out other work that we do on The Curb at thecurb.com.au. Thanks again. I'll see you on the next one.